5 minutes after the hour on Imagine Radio. It's time for the Mac Addict Hour. I'm John Adams.
And I'm Nikki Eckler.
Hey, Nikki, how are you?
I'm fine.
Looking fabulous across the studio table from me today.
Oh, and I didn't even do my hair today.
What's the number on your...
My number is 3.
3? So 3 needs to go up a little bit there, Kevin, if you could.
There we go. Thank you.
Got to tell him your number. And probably what number are you? You're number 2, so 2 needs to go down a little bit. There we go. And for those of you in Imagine Radio Land who are like, what the hell are you guys talking about? Forget it. We're just working on a little headphone level. It's the Mac Addict Hour. We're here to talk about the Mac, obviously.
Obviously.
A little bit of what's going on at Apple.
A little bit.
Maybe software? Hardware?
No.
No?
Yes. Software and hardware.
Yes.
I'm being informed.
Let's interview the rest of our crazy cast of characters. Or... introduce.
Say hello. Mark?
Well, okay.
Mark's the shy one in the group.
Well, I just don't have a microphone. Kathy and Nikki are hogging them.
You got to be, you know, one of those guys that grabs what he wants, takes control of the situation.
Yeah, but unfortunately he's sitting between me and Nikki, so he's got a problem.
So Mark's with us, and?
And I'm Kathy Doppel.
Hi, Kathy. How are you?
Pretty well.
It's good to see you today.
Nice to meet you, John.
So what are some of the things that we want to talk about today?
Well, today we have as a special guest Robin Williams, the best-selling author from Peach Pit Press, who has a bunch of fabulous books that I think she's going to talk about. And we also have...
Now, Robin, what's some of her work are you, that you're familiar with? One of the books we want to talk about today is...
We've got right here, actually. It's her latest one. It's the Non-Designer's Web Book, and it's been doing wonderfully.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to ask her a few questions about that. And Mark was actually just flipping through it, and he's impressed, which is kind of good because he's our webmaster.
And I'm picky. I don't like anything. But, yeah, it's a looks
from kind of like a first impression, you like it?
Yeah.
It's a very catchy title, too.
He's ready to go out and buy it for his girlfriend. I mean, wife.
Yeah, she's my wife now, Kathy. also, just for people who may be familiar with Robin Williams' early work, she's also famously the author of The Mac Is Not a Typewriter, and she also did a book on grunge typography, right? I forget what that was titled, but...
She's done a lot of books for The Mac. I mean, she's done a lot of design books, a lot of font books. Well, her original book, this is based, I think, on the Non-Designer's Design Book, and then she came out with the Non-Designer's Web Books, which is like the web-based version of that.
Great.
Which was also a huge success, of course.
Good.
So we'll be having a conversation with her.
Yeah.
What else have we got?
We've got reviews with Mark. Mark, what's on your review schedule today?
I'm actually going to be sort of just nattering about a couple of upcoming web graphics tools. So it kind of dovetails nicely into, you know, sort of Robin. She's got this book on web design, and I'm talking about your web graphics tools. And it's just going to be kind of one of those web things, I think.
Did we get lucky? Or was this actually...
It's synchronicity. It's Seabold. I think it's got to do with Seabold.
Okay, that's
the
what
stars
it is.
In alignment.
And Kathy, what about you?
I'm not talking about the web at all.
No? What are you talking about?
Myth.
No.
Starfleet Academy, probably.
Ah, cool. The web email address, I'm sorry, not the web. Now you guys have me focused on the web here. The email address is macaddict@imagineradio.com. Is that the right one?
That could be it.
You want to say it too?
It's MacAddict. I don't know.
You can
MacAddict@imagineradio.com.
I'm John Adams.
I'm going to write that down.
And we'll be back in 60 seconds.
Hey, John, what's the secret to your success?
Simple. In today's world, opportunity doesn't knock. It rings. Hello, Betty?
I got the deal?
Fantastic. See you later.
Oh, you're not kidding.
Oh, no.
But if you leave your phone on all the time, won't the batteries wear down?
Not with Duracell extended rechargeable batteries. You see, Duracell gives me up to 50% more talk time than your ordinary nickel-cadmium batteries. Huh. And they're made especially for wireless phones. Plus, there's no memory effect, so I can top off the charge anytime.
So you can leave your phone on all day...
And recharge at night. Huh. That's why I never miss a call.
Hey, where are you going? I'm going to go get a Duracell rechargeable battery. Call you later.
No, I'll call you.
And now, Cellular One is featuring Duracell cellular batteries at their many Bay Area retail locations. Stop by Cellular One during the month of October and register for a chance to win $500 when you leave your cellular phone on standby. For details, visit any participating Cellular One store or call 1-800-CELL-1. Cellular One, the PCS that works, now works longer.
Ten minutes after the hour on Imagine Radio, it's the Mac Addict Hour, and I'm John Adams.
And I'm Nikki Eckler.
Hi there, Nikki.
Hi, John.
It's fabulous to be here talking Mac with you.
Yeah, but it's not just me.
No.
There are others in the studio.
Who else is here?
Well, there's me, Mark.
Hi,
and
Mark.
And there's me, Kathy.
Hi, Kathy. There's a couple other folks, too.
Yeah.
There's Kevin, our fabulous kind of engineer. And then the boss is sitting in the back.
Giving me dirty looks.
I can't remember the
email address.
Cracking the whip at us. MacAddict@ImagineRadio.com if you'd like to send us an email. And it's time to bring in our guest. How about that? It's the author of the Non-Designers
web book,
Robin Williams. Welcome to Imagine Radio, Robin.
Hi. I have fax machines and phone lines going off in here.
Oh, my God. We can hear them.
You're so popular.
Sounds like a special effects studio.
I don't have to turn the fax machine off.
Well, just ignore it. Pay attention to us, and we'll be happy.
Find background music.
How many books have you written?
Oh, I think, if I don't count updates, which kind of annoys me because I spend a lot of time on them, but I can't count them.
Why not? Who says you can't count them?
Yeah, who
says? I've never heard of those rules.
Yeah, so about 20.
20?
Wow.
But if you don't count the updates, maybe about 13.
What was your first book?
The Little MacBook, self-published. The Little MacBook and the Mac is not a typewriter.
And those were published when?
1989.
Wow. Did you guys read those, Kathy?
I have them. I own them both.
Yeah, they've been on the bestseller list for 10 years now.
I'm a huge fan of Robin.
Did they buy you a house?
Yes, they did.
Woohoo!
They bought me a really nice house.
That's so sweet. I love that.
Robin, talk a little bit about your background, would you? I was up on your website today, and I was reading your real bio, and I was just blown away. Have you ever thought of doing an autobiography?
Oh, well, I don't think I'm much different than a lot of single mothers who raise children and have to move forward and do what we need to do, you know. My background's not that impressive. Professionally, you know, I did a 3-year graphic design program in Santa Rosa, California, because I was a single mom with no child support, so I would have liked to have gone to a nice design school, and I started teaching.
So you were an early mom.
I was what?
You were an early, I mean, you were a single mom right out of high school?
Oh, no, I was 24.
Okay.
And she's skipping over a whole bunch of fascinating things.
Yeah, I know. Come
like
on.
A 2-year trip across Europe where she picked grapes in France and,
ooh,
you know, worked
got
in
a
Greece.
Tattoo.
What's with that tattoo?
Long before these kids, I'm 44, and, you know, my teenage kids are thinking about tattoos, and their friends come over with tattoos, and I think, oh, you guys, I've been there 20 years ago.
Is that the only tattoo you have?
That's the only one I have right now, yeah. I'm thinking about another one.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'd like one up the side of my calf.
Ooh, that's kind of... What do you want it to be?
I'm not sure. That's what I'm waiting for. I'm waiting for the perfect thing to arrive in my mind.
You know, I'm sure listeners are probably trying to picture what the one tattoo you have looks like.
My website.
Okay, well,
it's on your website?
Refer them to our website.
Well, you know, we can do that right now. What's your website?
Let's see, rats.com, RATZ.com. But then to go straight into my site, rats.com/robin/toc.html, and that will take you right to the page where there's a link to the tattoo.
I have a picture of it here. I printed it out for myself.
Did you?
Yeah.
So while John is like scurrying over his web browser trying to find
my tattoo,
there's something else. Looking over
the mermaid.
Looking over your real bio, actually. This is Mark here, incidentally, and Mac Addict webmaster.
Hi.
There was one thing which caught my eye and which I want to ask you about. Did Font DA Mover really make perfect sense to you when you first saw it?
It did. I was sitting in the classroom, and this techie guy, you know, a total nerd, said, oh, here, blah, 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 and he did it, and it made perfect sense. I said, oh, the fonts are in that little left-hand window, and I need to put them over here where I need them in this right-hand window, and it made sense.
But somebody showed you.
He didn't really show me. He just did it. You know how tech support people just do it because they don't really want you to know how to do it?
But you saw somebody doing it first,
yes,
right?
Yes, I saw somebody doing it first. Yeah.
Try to make us all feel better here. Please tell
me. I saw him do it, but it was very clear what was here and what was there and where things had to go either which way. But I think part of it is people get, especially beginners, get really confused about navigating, period. So if you don't understand navigating in general, then it's difficult to know the font D mover. But you guys didn't have trouble with that.
Yes, I did. My first essay in 1987, I was confused, completely confused. I had no idea what a DA was either.
Yeah.
I didn't know why I wanted to be moving it.
Yeah. That's why I write books.
Go ahead, Mark.
Oh, so, yeah, this seems like a... I thought Nikki was interviewing. Okay, I'll take the bull by the horns. Anyway, so...
Because I want to talk about her tattoos and hats.
I'm
you guys
want to
talk about more than tattoos and hats.
I'm doing what I can to sort of change the course of the conversation a little bit here. I don't want John to sort of, like, you know, fix
because
up
he has this tattoo fetish.
You've got what, but you've also, you have one of those hats that's the, what was the, I'll have to remember the movie and then I'll bring it.
Anyway.
The Unbearable Lightness of Being. That was the movie. Did you see that movie?
No, I never saw the movie.
I'm sure you saw it any number of times, John.
You've got to go right. Anyway, The Unbearable Lightness of Being. Great movie.
Moving right
great
along.
Great hat scene in it, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay,
thank you, John.
Now, this is with the book, so I didn't bother with the movie.
Did she wear hats in the book?
I was disappointed with the book.
Oh, you were disappointed with the book?
Yeah, The Unbearable Lightness of Being. The
movie was great.
Oh, good. That's good to know.
But I'm a visual guy.
But
that's
anyway,
why I'm in radio,
right
can't
along.
You tell? Okay. Back to business. Come on, Mark.
Yeah, I'm just, talking amongst yourselves for a minute. But anyway, since you mentioned, the books, I figured, we have the new book here, and it's in my hands, and I was just looking through it, and I don't know. It is a really cool book if it's doing well. I guess that
the
would...
The Non-Designer's Web Book?
Hmm?
It's the Non-Designer's
yes,
Web Book?
Yes, the Non-Designer's Web Book. Let me clarify. I have here in my hands a list of the Non-Designer's Web Book, which is all in color, which is cool, and it's not really huge, which is also cool. But all the essential stuff is right at the front, which is very cool.
What is some of the essential stuff that you think, why do you say that? I mean, what is it that you think she's done right with putting the quote-unquote essential stuff in there?
Well, the thing is that a lot of the more abstract and high-end sort of web design stuff, tables and, massaging your GIFs and so on, it's kind of like advanced stuff. The most important thing is, how do you put up a site? Where do you put it? How do you get a website? And this is sort of, over with in the first 100 pages, and then you get onto the sort of, heavy-duty design stuff, which seems like a really good way to organize a book for beginners.
So, Robin, is that also something that, you were thinking about when you created this?
Yeah, absolutely. I tend to write books that I wish I had. And I have, I have Linda Wyman's wonderful books, and I have David Siegel's books, but you know what? None of them tell you how to upload your file or where to put it. And so I wrote the book that I really needed to have when I first started working with web stuff. And I teach thousands of people, and I know their questions. I know where they get confused. So... it's really, I'm really happy with that book. I think it's the best book I've ever done. And I did it with John Tollett, who is an incredible web designer and a professional illustrator and designer for 30 years. So he really added a lot more to it than I could, because I'm not really a designer. I'm a teacher. So the combination of me being a teacher and him being an incredible designer and illustrator, with all his tips and tricks in Photoshop and his clarity about what makes a good website. It's just the combination was good, and it's a good, solid book. We've gotten so much email from people who are just thrilled with that book. I like it. It's my favorite.
So do you find that you consider yourself not a designer, do you think that makes it easier for you to write books and explain it to other people?
No, I think it wouldn't hurt me at all if I was a better designer. But I'm not, and that's one thing I learned when I was teaching, that I am a teacher. That's what I'm supposed to do in my life. And I can teach people the basics of design better than someone who is a brilliant designer but can't teach.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It wouldn't hurt me if I was a brilliant designer.
<Nikki's>,
but I'm not.
Nikki's got a great point, though. I mean, there's something to be said for great, swimming coaches and great teachers who usually aren't masters of what it is they're teaching themselves.
Yeah. So I feel comfortable with my niche in this world.
What was one of the hardest things what was researching this book like for you? How long did it take you to do it? And what were some of the more complicated things to maybe explain?
I think by the time I wrote that book, things were pretty clear because I wander around the country doing workshops, and so for the 2 years previous to writing the book, I'd been speaking about it so much and teaching people so much that it was very clear, which is the way I like to work. I don't like to write a book until I've taught it for a while because I learned so much from my students. The hardest thing was that I had to buy a PC.
Oh, really?
You know, I had to figure out how to do the stuff on the PC because I needed screenshots from the PC so that all those PC people don't get pissy about. And I get nasty emails saying, oh, just because you chose the wrong platform, you can be gracious about it. And, it just burns me up. But so that was the hardest part. You know, I turn on this stupid PC, and I instantly am angry at how much they ripped off the Macintosh. And so that was the hardest thing, was just having to give in to that whole part of the world that I'm so resistant to.
Wow.
Is that the first PC you've ever owned?
Yes.
Would it be the last?
No, I love it, too.
Wait, you said you love it, too?
Yes, you can tell I love it.
Oh.
And then what really annoys me is, you know, we all have those stories about going into, you know, Office Depot or something, and those stupid... I'm sorry.
No.
I'm just gathering steam. Keep going.
You know, those sales kids who say... Oh, well, the Apple isn't making nobody's making Macintoshes anymore. Or, well, Windows is so far behind. I mean, the Macintosh is so far behind Windows. And like, oh, my God, it's a good thing I don't carry a gun. I would have, it makes me nuts when I come to this machine, and it's so dorky. Anyway, that was the hardest part.
Well, you'll find no argument here.
Preaching to the choir, sister.
You should see these three just swimming in glee here at your comments, Robin. I sometimes wish we had a little. We got to get an in studio cam or something. Just classic the way these three are just.
You know, my favorite when I come up against people who say, "Oh no, well you know, Windows is this and so on," I say, "Oh, so you're going to buy a dumb DOS machine, and then you're going to put this big old clunky Windows software on it to make it act like a Macintosh. Why don't you just get a Macintosh?" And they look at me with, you know, like I'm, well, they feel kind of stupid, actually. Oh, I'm not very nice sometimes about that.
Robin, let me be a little bit of a devil's advocate over here.
Oh, no. Sorry, Robin.
Oh, maybe not, huh?
You guys rule the world. You have 90% share. You can shut up for 1 hour, okay? So, Robin, it's Mark here again. I was wondering, John has now been dissed.
This is one of Mark's incredible skills. He has the tenacity of a pit bull.
Okay.
When he gets focused on something, there's no distracting him from it.
So, I was just wondering, given that you're sort of what you're teaching is sort of a precursor to what you write, what are you teaching these days?
Well, right now I have an electronic typography class at the college, which is not, I mean, I'm using books that I've written before for typography classes, but I have more fun wandering around the country. Like, I'm going up to Alaska to do a 2-day workshop in web design and to Toronto, and I like doing those kinds of things.
So are you working on any, are you thinking of any future books, or is that not?
Yeah, this is terrible. You know what my next book is? Oh, God. Windows for Mac users.
No!
Isn't that terrible?
No! Why?
Robin!
Come over to the dark side.
I only like this if you let me be so snotty in it, you know? For people like me, I got this stupid machine and I put in a floppy disk and it's nowhere. Well, where the hell, excuse me, is my floppy disk, you know? And I needed something to say, okay, I know you're used to working it in this brilliant way on the Mac, but this is how your stupid machine does it now. So I'm hoping that my rationale behind this is that the more, you know, we're all having to bump up against these machines, and the more we can make them work together, the longer I can hang on to my Mac without having clients say, well, I can't work with you because you have a Mac. So the more that we can have power over these things, the less we'll be assimilated, I think.
It's a brilliant idea, and I bet it's going to be a hot book.
Yeah, actually, I'm working with a woman in Corvallis, Lainey Howard, she's actually writing it because she works, she knows them both very, very well. I don't know it well enough to be able to write the book, so I'm going to be learning along with her writing. She's writing it, I'm turning it into a book. Because I don't even
want to
know it to the depth that she knows.
Robin, we got to take a quick break. We'll wrap things up when we come back. You're listening to the Mac Addict Hour on Imagine Radio.
God damn it, I've heard every one of these CDs 1,000 times. Yeah, maybe I'll try the radio. Jeez, I can't pick up anything in this office.
Sounds familiar. We've got a solution for you.
Imagine Radio.
A new way of radio. Available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Imagine Radio will provide you with the best music.
Best music on the planet.
Smooth jazz on K-Jazz.
Hard rock on the pit.
Stations with music selected by people who are nationally recognized experts in their field of music. The music your friends are going to be talking about tomorrow.
You could be listening to today.
www.imagineradio.com. Imagine Radio.
A new way of radio.
Back to the Mac Attic Hour, where there is no cure.
It's 26 minutes after the hour. I'm John Adams.
And I'm Nick Tickler.
Our guest on the telephone is Robin Williams, author of 20 books, including the latest, the non-designer's web book, Good Thing John Can Read Upside Down. What's it? You're on the road how many weeks a year?
Oh, not weeks. I typically,
days,
at least once or twice a month, I run somewhere for a few days. I still have kids and dogs at home, so it's hard to be gone for weeks at a time.
So tell us about your kids and dogs.
3 kids, 4 dogs.
Wow.
Sugar glider.
A sugar glider. Cheryl's always, she has been wanting a sugar glider for a long time.
What's a sugar glider?
It's an amazing little creature. It's the cutest little thing I've ever seen in my whole life.
What is it, though? Is it a
it's
dog?
It's a tiny
or
little nocturnal marsupial with those big eyes.
Oh, like a ferret kind of thing?
Well, but not much bigger than a mouse, like about twice the size of a mouse.
Uh-huh.
With big eyes and long, bushy tail. And it leaps. It glides up to 200 feet.
Wow.
Like a flying squirrel. It's just, it's my daughter's. It's just so cute.
Is it on your webpage?
No, it's not. She's going to put it on her webpage.
Okay.
I heard you had to have like 2 of them, but they got really lonely without a companion.
Well, seriously,
baby, you have to buy 2 at a time, I thought.
It lives on my daughter. It just, she comes home from school and it's just on her, around her neck the whole, until she goes to bed.
What the hell happened to your poor dog, Boda? And if you want to know what we're talking about, head over to the webpage if you're listening right now at rats.com/Robin. You'll be able to see a picture of what we're talking about.
You know, I've had people come to the house and say, oh, Buddha, I didn't recognize you. Yeah, looking like that. She's in the non-designs web book, too. There's a picture of her in there.
What are some of the things when you, you know, teaching is such a big deal for you. What are some of the rewards when you're on the road teaching?
Well, I get to go to nice places, and people take me out to dinner, and I meet lots of nice people.
Mm-hmm. And you know, if you're ever in our area, we'll take you out to dinner. We're nice people.
You're in San Francisco?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That's my hometown.
Lots of nice restaurants.
Fourth generation Californian. Born in Berkeley.
What, besides being away from the family and the dogs and the kids, what are some of the things that you hate about traveling?
Nothing.
Really?
Mm-mm. I love it. In fact, being a single mom with 3 kids, when I go away for a couple of days, I have this moral obligation to party as hard as I can.
We'll definitely take you out when you come to town.
I need to go dancing all night. I don't have to worry about being home at a certain time. I love it. It's kind of, you know, then I come home and I'm mom and sit on my computer all day long. But
okay, we've got about 45 seconds to do blatant plugging. your books are available, I would presume.
Everywhere.
Amazon.com,
BarnesandNoble.com, Borders.com, bookstores. They can be ordered anywhere.
And if folks want to take your classes, how do they find out when you're going to be in their area?
On my website, there's a schedule.
Which your website is?
Rats.com, R-A-T-Z.com.
Great.
Good. Awesome.
Thanks, Robin.
Hey, thanks a lot, Nikki, for inviting me.
Oh, it was
thanks,
our
guys.
Pleasure.
Kathy, Kevin.
Hey, thanks for coming.
We just want to go dancing and drinking when you come to San Francisco.
Oh, God, it's a date.
Okay. Robin Williams, author of the Non-Designer's Web Book on Imagine Radio. AP Network News is next. And when we come back, it's some reviews and tech talk and all kinds of fun on the Mac Addict Hour. Two minutes after the hour on the Mac Addict Hour.
And this is Nikki Eckler.
Hi, Nikki.
Hi.
I'm John Adams.
Hi.
In studio as well, we have
Mark.
Mr. Mark.
And Kathy.
And Miss Kathy. And we're here talking about Mac. We had a great conversation last half hour, if you were with us, with Robin Williams. The Non-Designer's Web Book is her latest. And you can email us
at
MacAddict@ImagineRadio.com. Need a tattoo. She was. I wonder. Did you see that little mermaid thing?
Yeah, she didn't say where it was located, actually. And she doesn't say on her website either, strangely enough.
But she is going to get one on her calf.
Yeah,
that'll be interesting
when she gets inspired.
Yes. So, email address once again: MacAddict@ImagineRadio.com. And it's time to get a little bit of reviews stuff going on from Mark. What do you have to review for us?
Well, let's see. There's a little bit of backstory on this here. You know,
okay.
Normally this is Rob's gig, but he's not here, so I'm filling in, and this is sort of what's on my mind. It must be because, you know, this week, real time, is Siebold Seminars, and so everybody's all fired up about publishing and so forth. And, of course, this being the late 90s, it's web publishing. So we have a whole bunch of upcoming web graphics tools, which basically have been released in public beta form, so you can try them out. They won't be shipping until later in the year, but I sat down with a bunch of these demos and tried them out and you know, sort of formed an early kind of erratic judgment based on this sort of preliminary non-feature complete version and so forth, which I'm sure you all want to take as a word of gospel. Anyway, so the ones that I was going to run down for you are Photo Animator from Extensis, which is an animation tool. Page Splitter, which is this obscure new thing from a company called Worthington Software Engineering, and Macromedia's Fireworks, which is probably going to be the headline grabber. And of course, in discussing web graphics tools, I just have to put another plug for GIF Builder, which is freeware, ubiquitous, and you know, the others all being commercial utilities, which really has just a ton more features than you would ever suppose. Every time I sit down to work with GIF Builder, I'm sort of amazed afresh at all the sort of little hidden features. One I just noticed the other day, actually, for creating GIF animation, is frame optimization, where since every frame of a GIF, of an animated GIF, takes up additional file space, if an area of the image doesn't change from frame to frame, it's more efficient to make the next frame a little smaller and just have it like cover the areas that are supposed to be different. And GIF Builder can actually do this for you. You set it up to optimize the frames, and it'll basically go through and go, yeah, maybe something a little small here, and this one just overlap here, and this one here, and it can really save file space, which is just the sort of service you don't expect to get from a free utility. But maybe you should.
Is this one your favorite, Mark?
Well, it's free.
Mark likes free stuff.
Yeah.
Cheap.
Okay.
Are you cheap? Cheap that way?
Well, seeing as how he works at Imagine.
Ooh.
Ooh. Yeah, yeah.
From a disgruntled, soon-to-be ex-employee.
God, and you were calling me the bitter one.
Okay. But now we'll sort of move on to the commercial stuff, because some of this is really cool, too. Now, Macromedia recently sort of made a big splash with Dreamweaver, which is a sort of gonzo, hardcore, graphical HTML editor that still lets you write in hand HTML code the way real designers should.
Well, can I ask you a question? Why do you say that?
Well, because, not to name any names, but if you look at HTML created with a graphical tool like, say, Cyber Studio or PageMill or whatever, it fills it up with junk, especially with all this pixel precision layout stuff. It puts everything in, like, bogus, useless table cells. All you want to do is have one, like, GIF image in a frame and have it centered. I was doing something the other day where I was slimming down something that had been created with one of these graphical tools, and I trimmed the file size by, like, 90%.
Wow.
I got it down to one-tenth the size. So all I wanted was a centered GIF. I didn't need, like, oh, and here's a spacer GIF and a table cell, and here's some, like, you know, internal stuff that only has relevance within this editor. So, yeah, Dreamweaver, I want to sit down and play with that a bit because it promises to really preserve the integrity of your HTML and not load it up with useless crap. So,
okay.
But anyway, so that's not even germane to the topic at hand. But
I'm good at bringing up topics that aren't germane to the topics at hand. Sorry.
What is germane? Don't we all ultimately live on planet Earth, breathing oxygen? And
I took germane in college.
I once went to germane.
Okay. So anyway,
I like wheat germane. Kind of on my cereal, sometimes in pancakes.
Okay, so now the actual demo at hand
keeps you regular, you know.
Okay, just to refresh your memory from 5 minutes ago, we have Macromedia Firework.
It's always fun to try and fluster him. I haven't
you
been able to do it yet.
Do it.
You can't. He's amazing. Focus.
Juggernaut.
The focus would like fires.
Okay. Where was I? Macromedia Fireworks is pretty cool. It's going to come out for $2.99, but the public beta is free, which is always nice. This is not a GIF animation tool. It's for creating static GIF images, but it's just a really fun thing to play with because it's primarily oriented for generating fancy text and then exporting it to GIF format for use on websites. But the cool thing is that the text stays fully editable even after you apply all the effects. And this is a feature that you'd love to have in Photoshop. You know, let alone in like your web graphics tool, where things like drop shadows and beveling and funky textures are just properties of the text, and you can change your mind later, change what it says, change the type size, the style, all of that, and it'll just sort of reflow the effects to fit. So the idea is that, well, gee, you can change your mind, modify your graphics later, re-export them to GIF, and, you know, just work more efficiently, but this is just a totally killer concept for a graphics tool, period. Then we have this other thing, which is kind of interesting, from a company called Worthington Software Engineering. There's something called Page Splitter. I have no idea how much it costs, even. It's not listed in any of the documentation, and I tried calling them. They're on the East Coast, and they were closed already. But the idea is here, you import your graphic, and then you sort of say, well, I want this part to be an image map, and this part should be, like, animated, and you know, this part should like change when you sort of mouse over it, and basically you open up your image and you sort of define an area. I want this bit to be animated, and what it'll let you do is it'll sort of kick you over into GIF Builder and let you create the animation and float back into that file, and you say, well, I want to like have some text here, and it'll kick open BB Edit and you write in the text and it'll throw that back in. Or, well, gee, I want this bit to sort of change when I mouse over it, which is like a little JavaScript hack that it handles for you. And it'll open Photoshop with, like, the portion of the image that you wanted to apply this to in three separate files, so you can do the three states of it for active, inactive, and so forth. So it's sort of like this central hub that invokes all your other applications to do their parts, and then finally spits out an HTML file with all these sort of different kinds of interactive and animated stuff sort of composited together for you. Which is just, again, conceptually, it's really pretty cool.
Conceptually.
Conceptually.
I admire the concept. A good concept is worth almost as much as good execution.
Well, is the execution good?
Yeah. I mean, some people may be annoyed at the notion of, like, slipping back and forth between applications all the time, but, you know, if you have all those applications open anyway, then it's really cool to just tie them together in sort of a project basis. Remember, that was kind of the concept with OpenDoc, right? Mm-hmm. It's you work on projects, not applications. So therefore, you have a central document, and you invoke parts to work on the So it's kind of the same thing, except without all the component software overhead. It's just, you know, I assume Apple Events, which is one of those nice Mac platform things. Everything works together, happy and friendly. And then one other thing which was released in public beta form this week, which is from Extensis, all these Photoshop filters and so on, it's an application called Photo Animator, which, as you might guess, is actually for creating GIF animation for websites. This will be $99.95, but they have like a $69.95 introductory offer. Now, I got to say up front, I don't actually work a whole lot with animation programs, so I don't have as much of a handle on this as the other things. You know, it's got a little timeline. It's all in one window, which is cool. You have your preview window, your working window, and then your timeline, so you can see the individual frames, and you can move them out in the layers, and you have undo and redo and all these sorts of things. It also can import and export to layered Photoshop documents, so if you're more comfortable working in that environment, or if you have all this stuff already racked up, layers in a Photoshop document. It just brings in Photo Animator and turns into animation for you. But the one thing which is really cool is that it does the in-betweening for you. This is a process which in conventional cell animation, you know, you actually have like a staff of like underpaid wedge slides sit down and take the keyframes and go, oh, okay, his hand's going to be a little over here, then a little further over here in the next frame. And ostensibly, Photo Animator will actually do this for you. Now, you have to take this with a grain of salt. I couldn't figure out how to do it, but I didn't have much time to look at this. So I advise you to check that one out for yourself if you're into animation. You know, it could be really cool. So that's sort of my batch of web animation, web graphics tools for this week.
Which one do you use the most?
I use Photoshop for just about everything. I mean, Photoshop 4 has this really great GIF export filter where it'll handle the transparency for you and the color reduction and everything. No, trust me, it's really cool. I almost never have a need to step out of Photoshop to do web graphics, which is why I'm particularly excited about Fireworks, is it does something that Photoshop flat out does not do.
Oh, so people could mostly just use Photoshop.
Yeah, it's tough to go wrong with Photoshop.
Unless,
of course, you don't have, like, $600. So,
then you'd probably want GIF Builder, because it's what?
Well, no.
What?
Free. No, that just does the animation, though. It's like you do the frames in Photoshop and then, like, bring them into GIF Builder or, you know, now Photo Animator, since it handles, like, the Photoshop import. But still looking for that perfect free, like, you know, just graphics tool.
If anyone has one of those,
the email address is
macaddict@imagineradio.com. Let us know.
We're going to take a break. We'll be back with Tech Talk. It's the Mac Addict Hour on Imagine Radio.
Wasn't Mike Throckmorton?
Mark here is a man who's taking precautions. He won't mountain bike, he won't roller skate, he won't ski.
I never cross streets diagonally the way some people do.
You are Mr. Careful.
That's right.
Doesn't that get in the way of your life?
I've been without health coverage for 7 years, so it just becomes kind of second nature.
Why no health coverage?
It's mostly just a cost consideration at this point.
What if you got hurt?
Everything would stop because basically my business stops.
Well, you know, Kaiser Permanente has a plan for as little as $59 a month with no deductibles and just $15 for an office visit.
And that's a flat fee.
That's it.
Kaiser Permanente Personal Advantage is affordable health care for individuals and families. Call toll-free 888-557-7716 for as little as $59 a month for preventive and emergency care, 100% hospitalization, and no deductibles. Call 888-557-7716.
And you can go through life a little more haphazardly.
You can just jaywalk.
Just run down the middle of the street.
Well, let's go.
Kaiser Permanente, putting your health first.
You're listening to the Mac Attic Hour on Imagine Talk.
15 minutes before the top of the hour on the Mac Attic Hour, I'm John Adams.
And I'm Nikki Eckler.
Free.
Free is
good.
I've always said that.
Okay, Nikki, what's next?
We have Tech Talk with all of us, I guess. Kathy and Mark, although I think Kathy and Mark are a little more technologically oriented than I am.
And we're free.
Or at least we printed out the letters.
That would make them more technologically oriented than I am.
Kathy, you want to kick one off here?
Yeah, sure. I got some nice letters here. I'll start out with Bruce Bagley, who writes to us, who says, I recently downloaded some sound clips of a classic television show, the original Outer Limits. Saved them with no trouble. Problem, the icons are generic. And so to play them, the Netscape application opens. Is there any way to transpose them to another application so that I may play such files without opening Netscape the same way you do when you save QuickTime movies and play them with a movie player? I don't know what kind of sound files they are. Well, it doesn't really matter what kind of sound files they are. You shouldn't be downloading copyrighted material from the Internet. Now, if you had, say, happened to download some non-copyrighted sound files from the Internet, I could help you. And in such a case, what you'd want to do would be to get a program called File Buddy, which is available on several of the Mac Addict CD-ROMs. And anyway, with File Buddy, what you do is you drag and drop the file icon onto File Buddy. It opens up a little dialog. You click the Browse button, and you browse to the application that you want to open it up in. In this case, if you want to try a movie player, that'll work. And click change all, and they'll be changed to the icon of a movie player. And then when you double-click them in the Finder, they'll open up movie player and launch.
Just as like a general thing, I guess, if you have a sound file and you don't know what format it's in, it should come with an extension on it. I mean, this isn't something that you'd need if you were working with files on your desktop, but those stupid PC users are running around all over the place, and they can't do a damn thing without those stupid three-letter extensions, so just about every sound file you'll come across will be labeled for the convenience of bonehead Windows users. So it'll say, .wav, most probably, for a WAV file. And,
or .aif, or .mulaw.
And that'll give you a hint. So, anyway, that's my 2 cents.
I take this torture.
Well, then, well, you should.
It is the Mac Addict Hour.
I suppose it is the Mac.
Well,
local,
we sit here in protest with a
whipping boy.
Windows box here recording the audio,
well,
when everybody knows
God.
That the Macintosh is the premier audio platform.
That's right, and there'll be an article about that eventually in an upcoming issue of Mac Addict.
Ah, another blatant plug.
Woo-hoo.
For the magazine.
Exactly.
We got, and these letters also, if you'd like to.
You know, I think that if you send email to macaddict@imagineradio.com,
Kathy didn't even write it down. She just remembered.
Yeah. Someone's got their shit together.
Because she's technical. Okay, how about another one?
Okay, this is from Wombat, or Mr. J, however he wants to be called. He was looking through a Mac mail order catalog and saw that they were selling 8600 G3 upgrade cards, like in a package deal, but they were selling 300 megahertz and 250 megahertz versions of the 8600s. If you upgrade to a G3, does it make any difference which a computer's original speed was? Would it be faster if I bought a 300 megahertz and upgraded it to a 266 megahertz G3, or just more expensive? Well, Wombat, you've got your head screwed on. It would be just simply more expensive. Don't buy a 300 megahertz computer and upgrade it. Buy that 250 megahertz one, which will be cheaper, 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 because you're just taking out the processor card and putting in a brand new processor. You're just going to throw out that original 300 megahertz and, cheaper. Free. No, not free. Cheaper.
And actually, by the same logic, this is just something that never ceases to amuse me. UMAX, the sort of like last remaining major cloner, they actually have a model in their Supermac line, the Supermac S900 base, I think, where because Apple won't let them ship G3 clones, it comes with a newer upgrade card, new technology upgrade card, actually in the box. Now, UMAX does not install this. That would be wrong. So instead, they sort of put it in the box, and you get to open up the case and pop it in, and there you go, they didn't do it. But this is like the top-of-the-line configuration with all the extras and like a 150 megahertz 604 processor, which is absolutely the slowest, clunkiest, most pathetic PowerPC chip they could possibly have put in it.
And the cheapest they could probably buy at quantity.
Exactly, because all you're going to do is you're going to take that old, that old processor and just fling it away. Which is the attitude you should have towards your 8600 processor.
And, of course, you should also check out those brand new G3 machines from Apple. They just got slashed another $200-$300 in the last couple weeks. And, time. Anyway, they've got a 300 megahertz version, too. So who knows what it'll be cost by the time you listen to this.
Oh, that's right, yeah. I was like, time? What time? Do we have to take a break? Is that what time you're talking about? Oh, yeah, Cape delay time.
Right,
exactly.
Right.
Good thinking.
Yeah, so...
Totally on the ball today.
Sure.
Speaking of, though, we do need to take a break.
Okay.
So do you want to take a break now, or do you want to do another letter?
Oh, we can take a break.
Take a break?
Yeah.
Why don't we do that?
Whatever you want, John.
Would you like to take a break, Nikki?
I'll indulge you. Mark's being so mean to you today.
Pummeling me. 10 minutes to the top of the hour, the Mac Addict Hour. I'm John Adams.
And I'm Nikki Eckler.
And the email address is macaddict@imagineradio.com. We're in the middle of some tech talk. We'll be continuing it when we come back.
We now enter the brainchild of a kicking savvy multimedia PC user.
Mr. Ramsey, what do you know about Yahoo?
Oh, you mean that chocolate drink?
Okay, email.
Never heard of him before.
Laptop.
Last week at a bachelor party.
Mouse.
Oh, Mickey.
Modem.
The band from overseas, Depeche Mode or something.
Java.
Oh, no thanks, I'll have some water, though.
Browser.
Well, that's the disease of the eyebrows where it all grows together where you have just one or something.
Download.
last week at the bachelor party.
Get it. Use it. Point and click.
Imagine Radio.
Back to the Mac Attic Hour, where there is no cure.
9 minutes before the top of the hour on the Mac Attic Hour.
It's Nikki Eckler and...
Mark Simmons.
And Kathy Toffles.
Everyone took Valiums during the spot stop set there. I'm John Adams. The email address is macaddict@imagineradio.com. We're talking tech, and if you want to get in on the tech talk, you can go ahead and send an email to Kathy through macaddict@imagineradio.com.
And I'll be promptly answering and reading all questions on the air.
Absolutely. What is the next tech talk letter?
The next Tech Talk letter comes to us from James Tyler, who runs both Emailer and AOL on his machine, which is PowerPC 8180, that's not really so relevant. But his problem is that Emailer and AOL tend to hate each other, and he can't have both running at the same time. And, you know, what I'm sensing here is that he's got Emailer set up to check his AOL account. And so when Emailer tries to do this, naturally, it can't be having AOL running at the same time, and Mark can jump in here at any time. So what I'm thinking, if he wants to solve his problem, he should set up Emailer, if he wants it to check his AOL email, to check it as an Internet account as opposed to an AOL account, and then it won't run into the AOL problem. But maybe Mark would like to jump in?
That sounds good to me. I'm just having a hard time, reading this letter and figuring out exactly what's going on, see, Kathy sensed the problem, so, using her sort of psychic friends type powers, I think she's arrived at the correct conclusion. And I also, James, I see money in your future.
What's the magic eight ball?
Did we just turn into
the
psychic friends network or something?
The magic eight ball. I know there's one around here somewhere.
Well, part of the problem with the tech talk questions is I think most of the problems is that if people could phrase their questions the right way, they'd probably be able to answer them.
What I'm just saying is that
if you have a problem that you can't solve, it's probably because you're not thinking about it the right way. And obviously then you need help. And we're here to help.
But see, how can you help them if they can't think about it in a right
way? That's why we're psychic. A lot of the time spent here preparing for this show is divining what indeed the problem is.
And attuning ourselves to the spirit plane.
And tuning into the collective Mac unconscious.
And there are a lot of crystals lying around as well.
Yeah, and in fact, we replace the crystals to obtain a higher oscillation rate to improve our predictive performance. Anyway, next question.
Okay, the next question comes to us from Clayton Walsh.
Is John just is battery dead, or is something stuck in his throat? I don't know what's going on over there.
Next question.
Next question comes to us from Clayton Walsh, and I'm going to have punt the first part of this question over onto Mark. It's going to be like stump the editor. If I hold down Option Apple and push Escape, I can force quit the Finder. And if I continue to hold Option Apple, I can rebuild the desktop without restarting the computer. Is this a good operation?
The only way you can stump me, Kathy, is by cutting off my arms. So, straight answer. Yes, if you hold down Command Option Escape, you can force quit the Finder. Is this a good operation? No! Don't do it! Now, if you're really fanatic about wanting to sort of arbitrarily rebuild your desktop without having to restart, quit the Finder, hold down Command Option as it comes back up and rebuild your desktop, there are a number of utilities whose names totally escape me at this point.
Tech tool,
yeah, which can just quit the Finder nicely the correct way by sending an Apple event saying, please quit for a moment. Which is cool. That's all right. Using a feature like that works. But force quitting the Finder, is this healthy? No. Does it make you more likely to crash? Yes. Is it a good operation? Uh-uh.
Yeah, but people still smoke cigarettes, too.
Okay. Yeah.
The fool! The blind fool!
Now, Clayton also had a second question, which was, his hidden hard drive folder icon, which is a file, got deleted. What should I do? Well, the way those hidden files get created is by getting a custom icon and pasting it in the Get Info window of a particular folder or file. And so to get that icon back again, all you have to do is open up the Get Info window, paste in a new icon, right?
It depends. There is a situation that can occur, which may be what this guy Clayton is referring to, where when you give a volume, you know, your hard disk or a folder, a custom icon, it sets a little flag in the on that folder. It says, I have a custom icon, and also puts a sort of invisible file called icon within it to store the icon. Now, if that file goes missing, but the flag is still set, you have a blank icon for that folder or volume, and no way to, like, delete it or paste in a new one. This is kind of a catch-22, because it thinks it's there, but when it goes to replace it, it can't find it. And so here you actually need to just hole out resedit and either, like, grab an icon file from someplace else, you know, from another folder that has a custom icon, make it visible, copy it over the top level of your hard disk, make the invisible again, and then, you know, everything will be in order, and it'll think, oh, I have a custom icon here, I can replace it. Or you can get info on a folder and uncheck that custom icon setting to accord to the physical reality that doesn't actually have a file there. But I don't think you can actually use resedit to get info on a volume, so you have to do the thing where you swap in another invisible icon file to make everything right. It's really, really weird.
I've got a technical question. How do you turn off a PowerBook when it locks up?
It depends. Some of them have, like, little invisible reset switches hidden under a magic mushroom that you need a special screwdriver to get at, but it depends on the model.
It's a total bummer. You got to, like, take the battery out.
You can't fluster him. It won't work.
We got to take a break. It's a mechanic. I tried so hard. I can do it on the boot guys. Ask him about Mauve and stuff.
No, they work for boot, obviously.
We'll be back to wrap things up here on the Mac Addict Hour right after this.
Yes, that lovable loser is back, and this time he's smoking some doob in the all-new special, You're a Pothead, Charlie Brown.
What's that? You want me to put out my cigarette? This isn't a cigarette, this is weed. Here, you want some? What's that? You're kicking me out of the prom. I can't take my final. I won't be able to graduate. Whoa!
Good grief, dude.
Yes, he's all grown up, and he's smoking that stuff in the all-new special, You're a Pothead, Charlie Brown, coming soon.
Okay. Oh, about a minute and 10 seconds left. Time flies when you're having fun.
And so much fun it was. But you know what? We have a few seconds that we should use to actually say goodbye to somebody here today. Who it's going to be her last radio show for the Mac Addict Hour. And in fact, one of her last few days as a Mac Addict.
I haven't really announced it, so I guess this is the first time.
I'm outing her.
It'll be a fait accompli by the time this actually airs. Right? This isn't the spoiler.
Yeah, by the time you hear this, I will be an Apple employee. I'm going to work in their developer relations.
Oh, my gosh. We have a mole. We have a mole.
She's refused to tell me secrets already.
Cash. You like cash, don't you? Limo rides.
I think
champagne.
You have a few moles yourself over there.
Over here or over at Apple? These are
beauty marks.
Beauty marks. Mac Addict at ImagineRadio.com.
Goodbye, Kathy.
We will miss you. Here's AP Network News bringing you up to speed on the world.